Welcome to Probe, a program dedicated to enriching your Bible study through interview and discussion. Each week at this time, we take a biblical passage and find practical applications for everyday living. Stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we explore the Word of God with your host, Alden Thompson, Professor of Biblical Studies at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe. Today we are beginning a new series on Probe, focusing on sanctuary themes, Book of Hebrews. My conversation partners are Pedrito Maynard-Reed and Bruce Johansson, both New Testament experts, lovers. I don't know how you want to describe them, but they're both colleagues of mine in the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. I'm an Old Testament balance for them. It takes two New Testament to balance off one Old Testament, but we're looking forward to this because Hebrews talks a lot about the Old Testament, and that will be a central part that we're dealing with you. So our topic today is the book of Hebrews, and I would like to do something which I don't very often do, rarely do on Probe, and that is to read something that I prepare, because this is potentially volatile material. And I've got a little introductory piece that I'm going to read here, and then we'll open up for discussion among the three of us. This will explain why it's important for Adventists, who are the sponsors of this broadcast, and why it's important for the rest of us as well. All right? The Probe Study Guide for this quarter focuses on Jesus in the book of Hebrews, and that is the title for the first lesson. Since Probe follows the standard adult Sabbath school lesson plan used in Seventh-day Adventist churches around the world, it can be instructive to ask why a particular book or theme has been selected for the world church to study and discuss. What follows is a brief, unofficial explanation as to why the book of Hebrews has been selected for this quarter's lessons. First, Hebrews, more than any other book in the Bible, speaks with passion and clarity about the superiority of Jesus over all God's previous revelations. Jesus is the better way, period. Now, Jesus is terribly important for all Christians. There would be no Christian church without him. And he is even more precious to those who believe he is coming again to take his people home. But for Seventh-day Adventists, a more specific group among those who await his return, there is another reason why the book of Hebrews is crucial. And that has to do with a dominant theme in Hebrews, namely, that Jesus is our high priest in a heavenly sanctuary, a better priest in a better sanctuary. Adventism, you see, was born out of a great disappointment experience in which sanctuary played a key role. Although the Adventist Church was not formally organized until 1863, the crucial sanctuary date came almost 20 years earlier, on October 22, 1844. That was the date on which thousands of devout Christians believed Jesus would return to take his people home with him. They waited eagerly all day long and on into the night. Finally, at midnight, they realized that their hopes had been crushed. Hiram Edson, early founder of Adventism who had lived through that disappointment, described the experience this way. Our fondest hopes and expectations were blasted. Such a spirit of weeping came over us as I never experienced before. We wept and wept till the day dawned. The biblical passage which had caught their attention, sparked their interest, and nurtured their hopes was Daniel 8:14. In the Bible used by the vast majority of these disappointed believers, the King James Version, the verse reads, "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." The chapter in which the verse appears declares that this sanctuary message applies to the end of time, and these devout believers were convinced that the end had come. Yet the Jerusalem sanctuary, the only one Daniel would have known about, had been destroyed in 70 A.D. Somehow, overlooking pointed New Testament passages which bluntly stated that no one on earth can know the day or the hour of Jesus' return, these eager, hopeful people became convinced that the sanctuary to be cleansed was the earth itself. After the disappointment, those who were convinced that God had been leading them went back to Scripture and discovered the reality of a heavenly sanctuary and Jesus' ministry there on our behalf. Other conservative Christians who take the Bible seriously look for the fulfillment of the sanctuary promises of Daniel 8 in connection with a restored earthly sanctuary to be built on site of the present Muslim mosque in Jerusalem, Dome of the Rock. And that is the perspective represented by the Left Behind books and film, the perspective of modern dispensationalist Christians. Most Adventists, however, along with many other Christians, believe that the Jewish people as a nation, and thus a restored earthly sanctuary, are not part of God's plan for the future. The future belongs to those who accept Jesus Christ, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. As the Apostle Paul puts it in Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Since Daniel 8 talks about the cleansing of a sanctuary at the end of time, and since Adventists believe that the only sanctuary left at the end of time is the heavenly sanctuary, it is easy to see how the book of Hebrews can become very important to Adventists. The book talks much about Jesus and much about Jesus' role in the heavenly sanctuary. But to be very honest now about the present context in which this discussion is taking place, Significant questions have been raised about the Adventist interpretation of Daniel 8 and about the use of the book of Hebrews to support the Adventist sanctuary doctrine, which is rooted in Daniel 8. The questions involve biblical exegesis and are linked with Christian experience. The author of this study guide, Alden Thompson, is convinced that believers are almost always driven by experiential factors in the way they interpret and apply Scripture. Thus, throughout the discussions of Hebrews in this probe series, questions of biblical interpretation will be linked with Christian experience. Though the balance will vary from discussion to discussion, there will be three focal points. One, the Old Testament context. Two, the New Testament context. And three, modern applications. Now, the study guide is also available online, as well as the probe broadcast, so some of you may want to go there. But now let's go to these good men who have immersed themselves in Hebrews and who also believe that the Old Testament came from God. And let's start with the first question. What is the point of the book of Hebrews? Lay all of this stuff behind. Can you come to it as a modern reader and simply say, what's going on here?
For me, I think you find it encapsulated in chapter 4. I don't know if Pedrito would...
I have another text, but you go for that one.
It says there in chapter 4, verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ, when he had made purification for sins, sat down at the right hand of God. He's writing probably to Jewish Christians. The most holy place, the mercy seat place, was where God's throne was symbolized. And I think the incredible message of this book is that Jesus gives us access to the very throne of grace, and at that with boldness.
Good. Patrick, what's your passage?
Beginning. I tend to like to hear what an author says at the beginning. It gives me an idea of what he or she is after. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 1, long ago God spoke to the ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in the last days he has spoken to us by his son. He has put Christ one step higher. And he goes on, pointed him, heirs of all things through whom he created the worlds, he's superior. Reflection of God's glory is equal to God's glory. Exact imprint of God's very being, he's fully God. Sustained all things, powerful word, by his powerful word, and he sustains all things by his, when he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand, which comes to Bruce Point on high. But verse 4 says, having become as much superior to angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. There seem to be, he's trying to show there is a more excellent way. Christ is superior to everything else. Yes, the Old Testament is there. Yes, all these things are there. All these things in the sanctuary and so on. But Christ is superior to that. And it's a more excellent, superior way. To me, if you can read everything in light of that, the rest is secondary.
Now, we all grew up in Christian homes. We're familiar with this language. But, you know, we're in a world where people often don't know nothing about the Bible, knowing nothing about the Old Testament context. What would you do with the message of Hebrews if you had someone who had never heard of the earthly sanctuary, contemporary English version, instead of the Ark, for example, talks about the sacred box? What would you do with this book now? Could you make that same point with clarity in the book of Hebrews, or would you send them somewhere else first?
I think it's really hard to understand this message without knowing something about the sanctuary. The whole sanctuary is about the holiness of God. You had the court of the Gentiles, the court of women, the court of Jewish men, which were the priests, sacrificed. You had the holy place, you had the most holy place. And only the high priest could go into that most holy place, but once a year. You had barrier after barrier after barrier. And the reason why Christ is superior is that he goes into that place once for all time. The others had to repeat. He does it once for all, and he takes us with him.
I think we cannot understand it as well or as deep without the background. But I wonder if we didn't have that, and maybe that's what has caused the kind of problems here, is that we know too much. background. And we take what we know and try to read it into Hebrews. If we could take that, what Hebrews is doing is illustrating a main point. And even if we don't understand where he got the illustrations from, we can say, aha, there was a something like a sanctuary. There was something like a mercy seat, whatever that means. But hey, this is superior to that. So if we can start there, then we can say now, it would be interesting to be in the mind of the writer of the Hebrews to find out, now what was it like? Yeah. But what we have done is start with the Old Testament and then come and try to get into the minds of the writer.
Actually, to take up your point again, I think that all of us have a sense of pollution, a sense have a sense of not measuring up. God seems very far away, and Jesus... There's a phrase that repeats over and over in this book. Let us draw near.
Yes, let us draw near.
And so, in the modern sense, our limitations sort of cut us off from God. But Jesus says, no, I'm your big brother. I'm your high priest. I'm going to carry you right into the throne of God.
Now, Bruce, a few moments ago, you gave a very nice, succinct summary of the key issues involved. Can you think of any stories in the Bible itself that would maybe begin to amplify that? Are there any gospel stories or Old Testament stories that would show that quickly so that somebody would say, I need to get a feel for that from maybe a place in the Bible?
Well, the sense of God's holiness and the
well, that I think would be fairly clear, but the idea of so many obstacles to come through the sanctuary... maybe Jesus cleansing of the temple would be a good place to start.
You can go to even the very New Testament. Archaeology has dug up two big stones that were in the wall of the court of the Jews, the men. That said, anybody who passes beyond this point who is not a Jew does so on pain of death.
Yeah. In John, with the Samaritan woman.
Yes.
Is it the temple in Jerusalem or is it Mount Gerizim?
Yeah.
Just forget about that.
Yeah.
I am here.
Greater is here.
Something's greater. Jesus is here.
Yes.
John makes that point in a different way.
Yeah. And of course, in a sense, Jesus is preparing the way for Hebrews when he comes in and cleanses the temple. And you've made this a den of thieves.
Right.
Just simple, and the children come. And so,
So
those are very interesting. Now, there's one other question here before the clock runs out on us. Who wrote the book of Hebrews and why is that important?
I don't know. I just know that it's inspired by God.
Okay,
authors really, it's intriguing for my academic pursuits, but it could be anybody, as long as I know that they wrote it on the inspiration of God for a particular situation, and bless them, and bless me because of what they wrote. Praise God.
Now, a dominant tradition is that Paul wrote it. Where did that come from?
Probably for two things. Timothy is mentioned in the closing chapter.
Okay.
And he was a close associate of Paul. The other one is there needed to be a connection with an apostle for it to come in the canon. And I think that was
that's exactly right.
And so that's been in, it lurks there for a long time. And we simply don't have that same kind of, we don't have the same interest as they did.
There are others that feel that Luke wrote it, that Apollos wrote it, you know. And if they wrote it and God inspired them, I think we should praise God. And when we get to heaven, we'll have some questions to answer.
And one thing is interesting, I find, going back to the Old Testament, we know almost nothing about authorship in the Old Testament. And they weren't worried about
that's right.
You can read book after book, and nothing is said.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Pedrito and Bruce. Next week, we're going to continue our discussions, and our topic for next week is Jesus, our King. So we hope that you'll be able to join us. My thanks to Brian Vistana, to our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For Probe, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you may call 509-527-2194 or email probe@wwc.edu. Join us again next week at the same time for Probe.